Do you remember in the olden days when we used to kind of, you know, take 12 and it would be 20 minutes of time and we still didn't have a cold open? Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I hated doing that, so that's why we stopped.
Okay. Okay.
That's why we just started. You know what? What if we're just good the first time?
Yeah, let's try that.
Yeah, that's what I try to always do.
Okay. All right, you should have told me.
Hello and welcome to episode 475 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, aka The Five.
The Fiver.
Yeah. We're keeping it going. The Five. It's getting a second
wind.
I
just have another t-shirt idea.
The Five.
I'm going to quit the job I don't even have and then just sell t-shirts, man.
Sure. You're the t-shirt guy.
I'm not even going to bleep this one. I'm just going to tell you off the air after the show. I think this is going to be a
big one.
Award winning. Yeah.
Yeah. Big one. All right.
Like I can find new friends, like better friends even.
Sure.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll hang out with you once in a while, but
yeah, no, I understand.
Or how about this? How about I cut you in on this t-shirt deal?
Yeah.
And then the rising tide floats all boats and we can still hang.
Sure.
And I can find some new friends together.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
Ditch those losers.
Those non-t-shirt fortune guys.
Yeah. Buying t-shirts that other people make.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. No, that's... No, we want people to buy our shirts.
No, buy ours. So yeah, them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's no, right. Okay.
I just realized that. Oh, darn it. What's going on, Adam, in the Fiver?
I don't know. You know, same old, same old. No, I think there was a day this week where it snowed a whole bunch and then it warmed up and it was gone again. So we've done that. We're done with winter. Nope. We're not done with winter. And then we're done with winter again. So that's what we're at here.
Haven't had it yet, man. Have not had winter.
Still no winter.
It's getting cold. Like, so in the mornings we get up and this is riveting stuff, but imagine this, you get up, you take the kids to school. It's like -5. And then, you know, in the afternoon, you're looking at like +13.
Right.
That's weird. That is weird. That is not good for anybody.
Right.
Yeah. So, but then now it gets cold again. So I don't know. But no snow.
Good weather update.
Oh man. We need some snow though. Which I don't even like snow. Oh,
wait a second.
Yeah.
Where do you think you might be able to get some snow?
I'd say Amazon, but Amazon's very warm. It's the rainforest.
Well, maybe fake snow. I'm sure they sell fake snow.
They must sell fake snow.
Faux snow.
Did I buy anything on Amazon? I did not. I think I didn't. I think Amazon was like, look, you have enough power tools. Just cool it for now. Okay.
I got a whole bunch of things in my cart. I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I'm going to.
Okay.
On a bunch.
Let me talk you into it.
Okay. No, I'm pretty sure you don't have to talk me into it. Baseball, just things I need for baseball this year. I'm gonna take on my own team this year. A lot of years I've been the assistant coach, which is kind of nice in that I didn't need to provide a lot of the training tools myself. Other coaches that I've worked with have had them. But this year I'm going to take on a team and therefore there's a few things I need to get. I need to get one of those, you know, baseball nets, you know, like the hitting net. I'd like to have one of those.
What do you mean? What's a hitting net?
You know, just like, I don't know, they're probably 7 feet by 7 feet and they got like the little spot in the middle as a catcher. So you can, you know, put it behind kids so they don't, you know, when they're warming up pitching, they don't throw balls into the crowd. Mm-hmm. You can also have a kid warming up, you know, on a tee, hitting it into the net. It's a nice versatile piece of equipment.
Because you can't do screen drill at the parks anymore, right?
Right.
What we used to do, like you do little, what they call it, soft toss or screen drill. You'd have one guy and stand in front, just lob you balls, and you just belt them into the backstop. But then, over time, you just cave that backstop in.
Yeah, and yeah, that's not permitted, especially no. Especially now. I think people are more sensitive to that. Plus, it also destroys your baseballs too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the net is nice and they're handy and they pop up like a tent. They're not expensive, 60-70 bucks. It goes in a bag, carry it. So that probably a tee for sure, because we had one mm-hmm. when Jack's little that was destroyed. So I'll get a decent tee. Maybe some wiffle balls, which I like. They're handy.
They're the best, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just odds Did and ends like that. Did you buy
the golf ball wiffle balls too?
Yep, we already have a bunch of those in yeah. one of those thin bats. So yeah, some stuff I have. I have lots of baseballs, but yeah, add a few training aids. So those are all going to come through Amazon.
Awesome. Click through our site and help us out. That's what Adam's saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Awesome. Hey, do you ever, you don't, you're a humble guy, right?
Yes,
you don't ever need to be humble. I get a little too big for my britches from time to time.
I try to do it sort of sarcastically for my kids,
right?
You know, like I'll often say I am the greatest dad in the history of dads, like things like that, like gigantic. Ooh, well, we're gonna butt heads then
because I yeah, do the same.
But I think that they get that it's in jest. If not, that's fine because it's okay.
Who's the strongest dad in Tübingen? That's what I tell my kids.
Oh, okay. So do you have the title? Like, has that been confirmed in competition?
Yeah. And I figure I got another 6 months before my kid starts picking fights for me. And then, like, prove it, Dad.
Yeah, that yeah. would be awesome.
Yeah. yeah. That guy. No, but so when I get too big for my britches, I found a nice way to be humbled. Try to hang doors.
Okay.
I've been replacing the doors in my house, the interior doors, and hanging doors properly is very humbling.
Okay, because you're not strong?
Oh, the strong isn't the part with that. Yeah, of course, I can hang two doors at once. That's how strong I am. But the getting it all straight and level and on three different axes and, yeah, making sure the size of the door hole is the same as the door.
Is your not wife helping you with this project?
She's helping me by staying out of it.
Okay. All right. That's no, I just say way. That's what? A quick way to get divorced is no. work side by side with your wife on this sort of thing.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, that is terrible.
Yeah.
Who are those guys? Who are those guys who think that's a good idea? Like those are the same idiots who are like, "Oh, yeah, I married my best friend today." Why would you do that? Like I don't No, don't
even
marry
if
your
you
best
thought
friend.
That you shouldn't proclaim it. That's another problem unto itself.
Oh yeah, and I know a couple guys who've done that, who said that. They're like, oh yeah, I married my best friend. I'm like, well, I'm gonna want to kick you in the nuts now because that's not good. Don't do it.
All right, we just opened a whole other can of worms. I'm sure there's listener email. I can hear them typing their emails right
no
now.
No way. No way.
A lot of best friends got married on the photo podcast watch, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Don't marry your best friend.
Okay.
It's weird.
Okay.
Like your wife. Definitely like your wife.
Sure.
Like be able to hang with your wife, but like you and I could hang doors.
Sure.
You and I could go put down some hardwood floor.
I take direction very well.
Or give direction, like whatever. Like, again, same kind of thing. If it's like, all right, well, we're doing this, we're going to paint your house or whatever we're going to do, we can do that. Couple beers, hit a strip club after, that's fine. We can make that happen.
Sure, yeah, why not?
And so, but I would never do that with my wife. That's insane.
Okay, I agree.
Okay. Anyways, yikes. So the first door I hung, it works. You know, looks okay. So there's a one little minor thing, which I'm like, all right, I'm just going to have to live with that because I'm not doing it again. I can't do it again. And then the next two, I did two more right after and nailed them. Like, just,
yeah, you got better. You learned.
I did. You learn fast. And the other kicker is like, you know, houses aren't built straight
perfectly
anyway.
Straight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to deal with that. You're like, well, you don't want your door to just swing shut by itself. You want it to be perfectly balanced. And so therefore, like, yeah, what are you with the wall? There's a whole lot going on. And then as I want to do from time to time, as I, you know, quote my best friend in the world, Adam Carolla. He was telling a funny story a while ago about when he was working construction. And so that's what I was telling my wife. I'm like, well, people when people build houses, they build their own houses much better than other people's houses.
Right.
Like when you're a contractor.
Vested interest, yeah. Vested.
Oh, your house is, yeah, your house is dialed in. And so he was telling a story about how when he was working in construction and you know, some guy would make a mistake or screw something up, and his line would always, the other guy's line would be, well, can't see it from my house. Like, yeah, that's what you're dealing with.
Right.
And so anyways, doors are in. So I'll post some photos, just probably just to you, just to show you.
Okay. Maybe it'd be funny if there was a couple, you know, photos taken sort of third person, you hanging doors without your knowledge that they're being taken. Will we see some potential, butt crack? Some,
okay.
Yeah.
I can stage that. Okay. Yeah.
Door hanging crack. Yep.
Yep. It happens.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
I was doing it shirtless the other day, you know, for the neighbors. They were all into it. There you go. Reminder, monthly challenge this month is portrait, and that is the portrait of a non-family member.
Wow. That's
so that
big.
Means, well, that means potentially.
No one in my family.
In your, yeah.
Not well, even that, loosely related to me.
No, you're going to have to do a 23andMe before you take their picture.
Okay, got it.
Now, at least there are roughly 7 billion people in the world.
I should have a shot.
Yeah, so you can know this isn't a portrait of a stranger. This is a, like, it can be somebody you know, but as we said a couple months ago, you know, we did the portrait, I think it was November, we did the portrait challenge. A lot of people did selfies because I guess they, you know, didn't want to hassle anybody and say, hey, you want to pose for a portrait, which is why we did selfies last week. And then this one, I want people to take portraits of. You can know the people, but it's not yourself, and it's not like you don't make your daughter do it or whatever it is. Like it has to be a little bit out of your comfort zone, a little bit.
Gotcha.
Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. Even better, tag us. If you mention us in a comment, that is really difficult for me to find again. Like going back, like so I see it comes up, and then I go look at it, and even if I like it, and then I walk away from the computer or my phone, when I go back to see it again, I can't always find it.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of it could be me. I'm not pointing my finger at Johnny Instagram. Okay. There's no way his name's Johnny Instagram.
It might be. Yeah. John's a popular name.
Yeah, but that's just too on the nose.
Okay.
I'm just wishing I had said something more, you know, a little more creative.
Teddy?
Angus.
Irvin.
Angus. Irvin. Oh, you go. Alliteration. Of course his parents are going with alliteration. Irvin Instagram. Yeah. So yeah, Irvin, not pointing my finger at you, buddy, but I can't go back and find it. So definitely tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll be sure to check that out at the end of the month. And hey, just also a reminder, even though it's a leap year, still shortest month of the year, so don't wait too late.
Okay, won't do it.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No. PCS. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
Good, because I got nothing.
It's not, the context isn't necessarily interesting, but I think it's interesting, a topic of conversation, which is I decided to take my camera out to a hockey rink of our friends had a hockey game. They're older than my son. We played with them last year. Coach, actually all the coaches, lots of friends on that team. And I just decided one afternoon, I knew they had a game. Decided I was going to go and watch the game. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to just show up. I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm just going to show up with my camera. And then I'm just going to ask them, I know the answer is going to be yes. I'm going to ask them if they don't mind if I go on the bench and just take photos for them during their game. Mm-hmm. And so sort of, I'm guessing if I was the real Santa Claus, you would get the same feeling, that same sort of sense of fulfillment and enjoyment as to giving to others. But I went on the bench. They'd lost their first couple of playoff games, so this is kind of a must win. And I thought, oh, I don't know, is it a distraction? Are they gonna
wait? Not the playoffs already?
Yeah, this is playoffs. So playoffs runs for, you know, all of February and part of March, and they kind of have the end of mid-March is usually the end of hockey season, right before March break. But anyway, so I showed up and I said, hey, do you guys mind if I go on the bench? I literally as they're doing the warm-up, and they're like, yeah, come on. And the kids loved it. They got into it. They proceeded to, I think it was their biggest lopsided win of the year, definitely one of them. They won 7-0 against a team that they hadn't previously beat. And so, you know, I got lots of good shots, but so many of the good post-goal celebrations, kids coming to each other, you know, arms up, like slapping each other on the helmet, high fives, all the good stuff. Like, it's not just the game action. What I found from shooting hockey is definitely my favorite photos are the reactions post-goal as they get together, big smiles on their faces. They're also, I'm on the bench, they're coming back towards the bench after a goal. So those are the best photos in my opinion. And so I got so many of those considering the route that they put on. And yeah, it was great. And then because it's, again, shooting hockey, on one hand, this is ridiculous, but I took 500 photos in the course of that game. So
yeah, but you're on burst mode though.
I'm on burst mode, and you know, sometimes you're not sure what's going to happen in that moment, so you want to take 4 or 5, and then it's nice to even see the sequence. Same thing with the post-goal celebration. You're not sure when the smile is going to show up or the reaction of kids looking at each other, so you end up hammering off way more photos than you need. But of those 500 photos, I actually delivered 250 of those because they were good. They were good, which I don't ever recall delivering that many, but I thought because I don't know all the kids. I definitely wanted to have 4 or 5 of each kid so that, you know, the parents could all download the ones of their kids. So I wanted that many keepers for each person because they don't have this throughout the year. They have this one game. And then I also wanted them to be able to, the coaches, last year I did it for them because Jack was on their team. This year he's too young for their team. So I wanted them to be able to make their own slideshow. So right. I thought, okay, I'm going to give them enough. And the beauty of it is you're in a constant environment as far as the lighting's concerned. So it's pretty easy to do the editing. So, I mean, basically just copy and paste. I made sure I kept the same settings for all of the shots to make for ease of editing. And then I delivered the photos. How did you
white balance?
I put it in auto when I shot them, obviously shooting in raw. And then I just did the best I can. It was at the Oval. So it's a mix of lighting because you get some light from windows on one side and then you get the overhead lights, but more or less did the best I could. I find that the auto white balance for whatever reason in the Oval does a pretty darn good job. And so I was able to get it what I thought was pretty good and then just basically copy and paste it across. There is a little bit of variation, but again,
a shot of just fill the frame with a shot of the ice, like even a close up of just the ice and then use
that for And I try to, but again, because of the mixed lighting, it doesn't even necessarily work perfectly that way. Right. But anyways, I think I got it pretty good and I was super happy with, I think largely because of the way the game went, so many good photos. So they were happy. I was happy. It's nice to do that, to just spur of the moment. It wasn't sort of premeditated. I just decided I'm going to this game, I'm shooting photos and I'm delivering and they are going to love them. And again,
you're
going to
get a
money.
Starbucks gift card.
That was the whole point is that sometimes, you know, photos, people appreciate it. It's a gift. If you give that gift to the right people, you really feel good yourself. And so these are all people that I really appreciate all the things they do for me and give back. That's what I'm saying to the photography community here is like, do it. You'll love it, especially if it's not for people who will care less. Yeah.
Plus you get better.
Yes.
Every time you go and shoot. So you can go shoot a bunch of useless stuff around your yard. I was going to say shots, not swear. I wasn't going to swear there. But you can go shoot a bunch of stuff around your yard, or you can do something good like this, and they people get, you know, way better photos than they ever normally get, and you get better. I mean, to deliver 250 photos out of 500, I mean, that's an amazing hit rate. So you don't get that way overnight.
Yeah, and I think that part of it was a bit of an experiment for me because I keep thinking, like, there's an opportunity here. I'm probably never going to do it because I just don't have the time and I've got other things occupying my time that sort of rank ahead of doing hockey photography as a sort of a primary source of revenue. But if you could go out to a game, whatever, soccer, hockey, baseball, whatever it is, dance, and get, in this case, I think there's 15 kids, get five good action shots of everybody and deliver that in 1 hour. The game is an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half worth of editing. That's, and all the editing was just cropping to what I thought looked the best. That's a pretty good source of revenue. I'm pretty sure that if you were doing this in a tournament, because a guy was doing it at a tournament, they would sell you that game's photos for your team for somewhere around $350 for the team photos, the digitals, which I thought that's reasonable. Like, again,
it's hour 15. It's got to be about $20 a person you got to figure on.
Yeah. And then you could sell it individually. I think it was $30 for the individual shots or $300. You kind of get a bit of a discount buying the whole lot of the team. But I thought
typically about 18 players to a team, usually.
Here, a little bit less. Thank you. The team is a little bit smaller, but yeah, that's
the roster you're capped at. I think it's 18. I think it's, or maybe it's 19, 17 and two, 17 skaters, two goalies, something like that. And anyways, point being, I mean, you figure on about $20 a person. Yeah, I don't know. You go into a tournament and you can figure on $20. You're going to get four pictures of your kid minimum, maybe more. Okay. I'm not doing it. I'm still not doing it.
I'm still not doing it either, but maybe someone else wants to do it. There are companies that do it, but just as an individual, it'd be really easy to do it. And I just wanted to see, because I had seen it earlier in the year at a tournament. I was just curious, like, how hard would it be to get four or five of every kid? And turns out really not that hard. Yeah, really, really not that hard.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you shot that with, what, 60 and the
70 to 200? Yeah. Just from the bench. Yep.
It would be nice to have the 400, the whatever it is, the we call it, the 200 to 400 or whatever that, the lens. I mean, I kind of want to shoot with that, like the
super long. That would be nice. But what I've noticed is that from the bench in the middle of a hockey rink, I don't know exactly what the dimensions of the hockey rink are.
200 by 85.
Is it? Is that what it is?
200 feet long, 85 feet wide.
Yeah, so depending on the rank, your bench is slightly skewed towards one side or the other. But I find that those photos on the 200, because I'm, for the most part, I'm on 200 millimeters as I'm shooting these, it's actually pretty close to perfect. Like, in terms of what you would want, there's not a lot of need for cropping. Occasionally, you might crop a bit if the action's right around the net and it's at the net further from where you're situated. But that I would really like the 70 to 200 2.8. That's what I would like. Or the 200 F2. Like, those would be the ones that would be better, just because I wouldn't have to crank the ISO so much. But outside of that, the focal distance, I think, is pretty darn perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to that team.
There you go.
Good day for you guys.
Santa Adam.
Adam Claus is the better.
Sure. Oh yeah, I like Adam Claus better. Yeah.
Probably should have written workshop that ahead of the show.
Yeah.
Fired that off. No do-overs on this show.
Yeah, got it.
Photo challenge this week was Focus and Recompose, and I completely, I say designed, but really just blurted it out. So I could just test my autofocus, which I had repaired a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And so I wanted to do the focus recompose, and here we are. So, as always, let's start with yours first.
Okay.
So we're looking at the one. Okay, so there it is.
The one where she's looking off camera. So it's my daughter.
Looking away. Yeah.
Yeah, looking away was just sort of an in-between photo that I took, like, a series of her. She, because of her newfound love of the Two Hosers podcast, she is now super cooperative about what, actually, not even cooperative. She's volunteering to be the subject for my photo. So she's like, Dad, you need a photo this week for the podcast? Like, I'll be your model. And so I was like, done. Like, so last night, she agreed to this, or volunteered to do this. So I thought, okay, well, let's try something focus and recompose. I could do with kind of more or less any photo, but I thought, okay, let's do something with her. So she's lying on her back on the carpet in our, like, we have one of those, like, area rugs in our living room. It's kind of got a neat sort of pattern to it. So I thought, okay, let's use that as a background, and I'll shoot with the 85 on, you know, pretty close to wide open, and then it'll all kind of just give a nice blur. And her hair is pretty long, and it was a bit curly yesterday, and we decided that, well, okay, let's fan all her hair out. And then I just decided to stand on a small table, just like one of those little, I don't know, little mini coffee tables, light stand tables. And I just went straight down. I used the flash on camera and just flagged it off and bounced it on the ceiling. And then I just took a few photos. One, you can see where she's looking right at the camera, and I kind of got a side sort of look to it. She's sideways. The photo was taken from this perspective, and then I tried rotating it around to see what would be most interesting. And what I realized is I really liked it up and down for some reason. That the photo that's the alternate, that's the alternate, the one that I'm actually using, I rotated it all the way around. So she was actually facing the other way, looking the opposite direction. And for whatever reason, I don't know, as I flipped it around, I'm like, I like it this way better. So it was purely a stand right over top, focus on her eyes, slide the composition over more for sort of a rule of thirds look. And also just to make it a focus and recompose shot. I didn't really need to focus and recompose here, but it's just an example of how I can focus and recompose. I could have, I guess, taken this a little wider and just cropped it as such. But I did it true to the challenge as a focus and recompose.
This is really great. And now the reason is great is a couple of reasons. Obviously, because your daughter is our number one fan, and the reason we do this show. And so, I wish I had listening. A joke for her now.
Yeah.
I know she wants the funny.
She wants to hear about something funny about her mom. That would be a good time. Insert mom joke here.
No, that has to come organically.
Sorry.
No, we'll talk about it. I'll try to work one in later.
Okay, gotcha.
But also, if I run it at the end of the show, then she's guaranteed to listen to the whole thing. So, what makes this photo? First of all, the choice of carpet, like the zigzag pattern, really great. You know, you're gonna have to shoot more with this carpet.
I agree. Yeah.
Whether it's a backdrop that you hang up somewhere, which that sounds like a hassle, so forget it. But the way the hair goes out and goes out of focus and goes out of focus very quickly is what really makes this. I mean, obviously, you know, your daughter, she probably has like 1,000 pictures a week that she takes of herself and you take of her, et cetera, et cetera. But so that's great. But the way that it goes out of focus so quickly in such a short distance really makes this look really cool.
Okay.
Now, the alternate one that's tipped up on its side, I don't know. Maybe it just works better upside down. I'm going to tilt my head. Hang on. Yeah, maybe upside down. I don't know.
I flipped it all around, and I just thought, artistically, with the pose being different and, you know, keeping some of her bent elbows in the frame, I just kind of like the vertical. So I just wanted to show that, okay, we did a few. I probably chose about 5 that I liked, and then I submitted 2. But for whatever reason, the looking off camera and just the angle is slightly different. I just liked that. Like, I just really liked that.
This is really cool. And then again, it's also that the whole plane of focus is what really makes this stand out. Now I'm not sure which one I like better.
Me either.
I like the arm, the hands and the elbows and whatnot. But the other one's good too, the looking off.
Yeah. Well, okay. Listeners can have a look at both. And the nice thing is super easy. So this is, again, another reason for having a flash, an external flash. Even if you're using it on the camera, it's a pretty versatile piece of equipment. So I'm hoping most of our listeners by now have an external flash. But if you don't, you're missing out. Great, great piece of equipment.
I can't think of a better time to buy one, actually.
Yeah, they're almost free.
They are almost free. Whether you get a Yong Nuo knockoff, or I saw in the camera store the other day, they were selling a used 580 EX2. That one point was the flagship.
That was the money flash.
Yeah, and well, so much so that they were at the time, when we started our show 9 years ago, whatever it was, they were probably around 5.5 bills in Canada.
Yep. Yeah. I'd say that's
maybe 600, that's something like that.
Yeah.
And then, so I remember I happened to be in San Diego, for a job, and there was a camera store there that they had them on for like, I'm going to say it was like $300, or the equivalent. It might've been cheaper than like $300 Canadian, or it was really cheap at the time anyways. And so I drove out and picked one and bought their last one. And I couldn't believe it. Like, wow. So I saw a used one at the camera store here, which is probably in good shape. Boy, I think it was $150 or something like that.
Yeah, I believe it.
And so now I'm thinking I should go buy it. No, I have enough. I have enough flashes. But yeah, so whether you get one of those or a Young New or whatever it is, definitely get one of those just for the bounce flash.
Yeah, and if you don't sleep on the 430 EX2s, which are probably about $100 used now, I still have two of those, and they are terrific. So a little less power than the 580, but again, I've never had an issue, and I've had mine for, I don't know, 7 years, something like that. They are running strong. So those are a bargain now because everything's gone to the built-in radio frequency transmitters and whatnot. So yeah, if the 430 EX2 is available on Craigslist in your area, get them. You won't be disappointed. Yeah,
absolutely. My 580 acts up now and then in terms of switching between ETTL and just stopping ETTL and not being ETTL all of a sudden. It probably just a connection issue. I'll sort it out. Maybe it's the camera. I'm not sure. Just me and the nonstop complaining about my camera issues. But other than that, that's why I'll pick up another one, because I just love that flash so much. And you know, with the 430, they must make a newer version of that, the 435, something.
I don't know. I stopped caring because it's just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, what I've got is good and it does exactly what I need. Yeah.
Yeah, at the time I bought it because high ISO performance wasn't what it is today, and thus, you know, you kind of want that output. But nowadays, you don't need that much flash power to make a difference. So I think the 430, I would probably start looking around something like the 430 and go from there.
Okay.
All right. So mine, I shot mine. There's two of them. And you can tell me what you think. So I shot the blue one first. That was my submission. And then just out the door today, went and coached my son's T-ball program, which was a delight, by the way.
Okay.
13 kids and just me. That was awesome. Nice.
Yeah, all under the age of?
7.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're basically a grade one teacher.
Yeah, but some of them really, instead of the T-ball, really like fighting. And so, but he took my hat. Okay, so you stabbed him. Okay, cool. We'll call that even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you shanked him, but here we go. Can we say shank? Is that, that's...
Yeah, that's no, that's fine. Yeah. I think there's a few people offended in prison right now, so...
I think most of our listeners are in prison.
Yeah, so you just offended our...
I'm assuming a lot of them have your picture up on the wall.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, that took a turn. So, we can recover. Okay, let's do it. So on the way out the door, I just saw... I happened to see some really nice light. In fact, I've been noticing fantastic light all around my house this week because it's been very clear all of a sudden, so lots of sun, which, you know, instead of the overcast kind of bleh, we have very, very nice weather, great sunshine. But this time of year, the sun is low in the sky, and for like, just because of the way our house sits and the neighbors, et cetera, uncharacteristically, at a certain time of the day, around 4 o'clock, the sun is so low and kind of peaks between some other houses and reflects off one of the walls in our house and creates an amazing light in our stairway.
Okay, so wait a second. Which is your submission here?
neither one of those is the stairway shot. That's my point.
Right. I'm confused.
So I shot a bunch of photos in the stairwell of my daughter. And I was like, wow, like these are fantastic. I got my camera, my 5D Mark III back, got the 85mm on it. Loved them. And then I noticed, okay, I just painted my office as we talked about last week, and the blue background, I got some great window light. So bam, both my kids were there and I shot the blue background. That was my submission.
Okay.
On the way out the door, literally, like I literally edited this other shot seconds before we hit record on this epic podcast.
Okay.
I just saw in our living room, I saw, oh my goodness, like, I can't believe I just said, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
Holy heck.
Holy Hannah.
Oh man. There's just amazing light when my daughter was sitting there reading. And I said, oh, the light is fantastic in this spot right now. So I grabbed my camera, shot this one. So my submission is the one of just my daughter.
Yes, much better.
Is it better, right?
Yeah, way better.
Okay, yeah. Why?
The other one is fine. It's just, it's very forced.
My son's goofy?
It's forced. And even your daughter, like,
oh, kids. What if told you it wasn't forced? That's the worst part. It looks forced.
Kids don't like, you know, this, it doesn't sing of any true emotion. It just doesn't look right. Like if you take your daughter's eight, and your son is
15.
Okay. So,
he's six.
It just doesn't look like 8 and 6 in terms of like, I want to see them either super
goofy. The other one in the eye with the fork.
No, super goofy or looking at each other, like having some kind of moment other than the way that they're embraced staring at the camera is just like, I go, ugh. Like it's just not a photo. It looks like you went to a studio and the kids got bribed with ice cream and then they're like, okay, good enough. So again, that's how it feels.
That's not even what's happening though. Like, that's the worst part is it's not even that. It was just, they were actually having fun. And I just turned it and I was like, oh, I got to get a photo of this. Come have fun over here. And then I was like, oh man, you guys are terrible at this.
Yeah.
I need to find better kids.
So it's got nothing to do with the light. I like the background, the focus, all good. Just the
catch lights are fantastic.
Yeah. There's a lot good, but then it's ruined for me by the fact that it just doesn't look genuine. So that
looks like my son should be wearing a life helmet and Velcro shoes.
Maybe. No, not even that. It just looks like, again, stupid kid's smile. Mm. Like just like, and not that he's not intelligent. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that generic bad kid smile. My son's made a zillion of those smiles. And it just like, to me, that's what that photo is versus the one of your daughter. Not only is the light much more interesting in the photo of your daughter, but it just seems so genuine, the photo, even though it might be posed and staged and all clearly, like, I doubt she sits like this with her hand on her chin. It still just looks genuine. And she's, you know, the smiles, like she's smiling with her eyes, doesn't have a big smile on her face, but it just looks like kind of one of those moments just caught her by the window. And that's the difference between the two photos to me is just how much more genuine the expression is. Plus, like I say, you can't go wrong with that light. It's a much more shaped light than in the first one is flat.
I like, well, I wouldn't say it's flat, but you're
flatter,
right.
Flatter, much flatter.
Definitely flatter. Yeah. It's a flatter earth shot. Definitely. Yeah. We just lost a whole nother demographic of listeners.
Yeah. We're dropping them like crazy this episode.
Making fun of the flat earthers, but,
prison inmates.
No, I love this. Like, so in my office is, it's kind of a weird spot. I have windows on three sides. And this was obviously the background is the one side that does not have the window, but this is just the brand new blue background. I was like, oh man, it looks really cool. And then we get that. That's why you can see the catch lights are kind of all over the place. There's no added lighting to this. This is 100% available light. So I like it. There is, if you look close, there is a little bit of shape to the light. Like there's some shadow in her face. I like it. But like you said, like it looks goofy. And so when I saw the light, the sort of dappled light on my daughter today, and for me, the kicker, the best part about it was if you look on her right cheek, like just under her right eye, is just a little spot of light hitting her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of coming across and just kind of, I just like that to me. It's like, all right, I like that. And even the catch lights are hard to sort of pin down, you know, what's going on, because just to her left is a giant window, but the main light, the sunlight, is not coming through there. That's essentially acting as fill. So it's basically behind the camera is where the light is coming in through some trees, kind of dappled. And then on the right side is the sort of fill light from the window. All natural light, 100%. I added nothing, but it just kind of creates some really cool looking light and catch lights.
Okay.
And it's in focus, and, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Whew, nice to have that again. All right. Topic this week. The topic is gray t-shirt. So I'll just let you run with it from here on in.
No. Gray t-shirt.
Gray t-shirt. So as mentioned last week on the self-portrait challenge, we should learn something about you.
Okay.
Remind me, what did we learn about you? I forget what yours was. Oh, the hockey rink. What did we learn?
About my portrait? Not to put you on the spot. I'm baffled. You learned that I spend time in hockey rinks.
Mm. Okay, so as I said, it was a little bit unfair for us. I mean, we was more so what we learned about the listeners and what other listeners learned about other listeners, etc. For us, it's a little more difficult because we talk every week, and I was struggling to like what would people possibly, what new information would they find out about us? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I said, well, there is one thing. Now, it was not exactly hotly debated on the internets, but listener David Williams did surmise, that's the right use of that word, I think, did surmise that I was trying to tell everybody that I got a beauty scar on my chin from a baseball incident.
Okay.
Not what I was going for. I do have a scar on my chin, and it was from a slap shot in the face in hockey, so which I must have mentioned on the show at one point, not to suggest that all our listeners should listen to every single show and keep a Bible of everything that goes on.
Right.
On a, just, okay, just to back up a sec, on a TV show, for example, Friends or whomever, whatever show you're talking about, call it Friends, they keep what's called a show Bible. That's why I said Bible. Meaning they're like, okay, in episode or season one, you know, Ross has a son named Ben? Does that sound right?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Point sure, being, yes, sounds exactly right.
Point being, in season three, when they're going to bring his son on the show, they're like, oh man, what do we call him? Well, they look back in the show Bible and go, oh, well, episode three, we call him Ben, so he's Ben.
Right.
Now, that one they're going to remember, but there's all kinds of little things, like maybe Joey mentioned it, he worked on an episode of Magnum PI, so then later on, oh yeah, when Richard shows up, then he can't pretend he doesn't know that mustache, maybe, or some, whatever it is. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah.
They keep a show Bible, and it's called a show Bible, hence why I said Bible of our show.
Okay. All right. Glad that we got that cleared up.
So, yeah, I think I probably mentioned in the show that the scar is from a slap shot in the face. I remember the couple things I took away from that was I was happy to not get hit in the teeth. That was nice because it was very close to getting hit right in the chiclets, which would have been horrible. Two, I was playing men's league at the time, and it was mid game, and nobody wanted to leave the game to drive me to the hospital. So I had to get in the car, drive a stick shift, while I would not stop bleeding, obviously. It's a pretty big gash. And so I had to drive myself to the hospital, just trying to hold all my blood in with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a delight. And then I get there, and then the doctor's sewing me up, and like halfway through, I hear he says to me, oh man, I don't know where this piece goes. Like, well, that's not good. So, hence the beauty scar on my chin.
Right.
So it wasn't that. However, there was one very particular thing I made sure I did in that photo, and that was I wore a gray t-shirt. That was very specific to that photo. And it's funny because at the beginning of the show last week, unrelated to any of that, I happened to ask you, hey, what color t-shirts do you wear? And you said, usually gray or blue.
Yeah.
Which I thought, oh my, that's pretty funny. And I never mentioned it on the show later on that I specifically wore that gray t-shirt. Why do you wear gray t-shirts?
I don't know.
I'm going somewhere with this, I promise.
They're neutral. I don't know. I'm not a big showy, draw attention to myself person. And so gray is kind of just like simple and not going to attract additional attention.
You absolutely nailed it. That is 100% why I wear gray t-shirts. I have a closet full. No closets in Germany, obviously. We established that. I have a boxes full of gray t-shirts. I'm okay. A gray t-shirt guy for that reason. I find that wearing a gray t-shirt eliminates noise.
Sure. It
eliminates distraction. In a practical sense, I just want to blend in.
Yes.
In general, not even photographically, which we'll get to in a second, but just in life, I legitimately do not want my presence to alter the atmosphere.
Agreed.
Not that I think about that, like, oh my God, I am such a big deal that I am going to change the dynamic of this room. However, I don't see the need to go to a wedding and wear a giant hat.
Right.
You know, hey, everybody, look at me. I usually wear a white dress. Actually, it's my move.
I think, we're getting sort of a bigger issue, but it's exactly the same reason in my mind that I don't do the social media stuff. It's just, I don't want.
Right.
It just doesn't feel right to me to post a whole bunch of things about myself. It's just more of that, hey, look at me, I'm a big deal.
I hadn't thought of it in that respect, because the reason I don't like the social media so much isn't so much that, which is that that's part of it. But for me, I don't like the social interaction that happens on there.
Oh yeah, there's that too, yeah.
But for me, and so what I found, because this wasn't a conscious effort where I'm like, all right, what kind of t-shirts am I gonna buy? Well, I have to buy these because here's my reasoning. But it just kind of fell in with everything else. I do not want to manufacture my identity. Like it's like giving yourself a nickname. First of all, you cannot give yourself a nickname.
Okay.
Go ahead. Try it. Try giving yourself a nickname.
You gave yourself a nickname. You've stated that your nickname, the A-Train, is a self-given nickname.
True. That I am the exception that proves the rule.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't say that's my nickname. It does come up. Actually, my nickname is way worse, and I never gave it to myself, and I can't even say it on the air.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you off the air. I think I might have told you what that one is. That
was I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. As you should. I don't want you knowing that one. So, but go back to when you named your kids. Like I was kind of like when it came time to name my kids. We live in an era where people go nuts naming their kids. Like there are like not just a few people who name their, you know, their kid, oh, here's my son, Macrame. You're like, oh no, really? A lot of people have tried to give their kids super cool names.
Okay.
That we know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like personally, I know a few,
yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why do they do that? You didn't. You No. gave your kids gray t-shirt names.
Right.
As did I. And I was very specific about that. I was like, you know what? I do not want to, you know, my son, his name's Steel Blizzard. That's his name. So that later on in life, yeah, I want him to be unique. This is what I want to do. I'm going to manufacture his identity for him. So he doesn't have to be unique. I've already made sure that he stands out in a crowd.
Right.
I don't get that.
No, I know. But that's also, the people that do that are also not gray t-shirt people. It all goes together, I think. I think that this theory could be put to the test, but if you are a, you know, bright fluorescent orange t-shirt guy, your kid's probably not named Ben or John.
Right. It's funny. I wrote down John as the, I was trying to take the opposite tack and to say, I'm not suggesting everyone should be named John. However, simply naming your son something, you know, cool like that, or daughter or whomever, for me, I wanted my kids one day, and very young, actually, I mean, that's what kids do, but I wanted them to have the ability to discover their own personalities and develop them themselves. Like, that was much more fulfilling than me throwing that on them and going, okay, here's what you are. I've decided that you're going to be some kick-ass, when the show Beverly Hills 90210 came on the air, the guy's name was Dylan.
Right.
How many Dylans did you go to school with when you were a kid?
None.
Zero?
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, not a one. Not a one. So the idea was like, all right, this kid's he's named after probably Dylan Thomas. I went to school with Dylan Thomas. I don't know if I told you that.
Okay.
No. So I'm assuming he's named after that because it's cool. No one's named Dylan. And so therefore, he's going to be the cool kid. Now, everyone did that. Everyone's like, oh, I'm going to name my kid, you know, whatever. Pick a cool name. I already picked Steel Blizzard, so it's something like that.
Morpheus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually. Yeah,
I haven't met any Morpheuses, but I feel like there's got to be a few out there.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Although somebody did say a while ago, like, there's no Oprahs, and you'd think there would be.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I'm naming my kid Oprah. And she's so substantial that she's accomplished so much that you think people would do that. But anyways, there's no one named Wayne Gretzky, right?
Nope, not that I know.
That'd be great. Great name. So my point is, I don't want my kids to, I want them to be able to stand out or blend in, whatever it is they want to do, of their own volition. And that is the gray t-shirt. Now, photography wise, which is
okay, here, that yeah, I was yes, waiting for it. I was almost going to ask.
Like, this but. Applies to photo. This has always applied to not just photography, but the way I shoot movies or edit or whenever I edit something. For example, edit like films or moving pictures or whatever you want to call it. I strive, like, it is my goal to make every single edit completely invisible.
Right.
So that you're all about, you're watching what's going on. You're watching the actors. You're watching the story. You're following along. You don't notice that it's cut. I want that to go away. I want it to be the gray t-shirt. Same with photography. I strive to be creative and competent, but I don't want to distract from the subject. I don't want people to look at the photo and go, oh yeah, that's all about the photographer.
Right.
Lighting is cool. Like cool lighting is cool. It's right there in the name, cool lighting.
Yeah.
But it should serve the photo. It shouldn't be the photo. It shouldn't be like, oh man, like, yeah, that's the photo's terrible, but the lighting is amazing. That no one ever does that. No one looks at a Rembrandt. I mean, the lighting is great in The Night Watch, for example, but that's, you're looking at the subject. You're not just looking, oh yeah, I like the light with the lights coming in there, the end. And there's certain photographers who have a certain style, like, what's his name? Dan Winters, I keep talking about.
Yeah.
And you look at him, you're like, oh, yeah, you can tell it's him. However, it always serves the subject. Like, his stuff is so great and so amazing that he, even though, I think the reason you know it's him is because he's so good, but he takes himself out of the process. So, now, there's a flip side to this. And that is, if you've ever been to East Berlin, you'll see that, oh man, everything, less now, but everything for a long time was dreary and gray, just everywhere. So, like, I mean, there is the opposite where it just kind of is blah, you don't want to do that. So in that respect, I do try to introduce a few blues, like you said, and other colors in now and then. But in my t-shirts, I mean, I'm talking about t-shirts, not even my photography.
Right.
I try to introduce that now and then just to liven things up, but I don't go nuts. So That was the takeaway.
It all makes sense. I hear what you're saying.
Great. Be a gray t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you've named your son Steel Blizzard, though, keep listening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I called you out.
Another segment of the population, weirdly named children. Parents of are now no longer listeners.
Yeah. But they were also the ones in prison, so it worked out. It's two for one. All right.
Okay.
That was that's my whole philosophy of life. Wear a gray t-shirt.
Okay.
Challenge for this month, February monthly challenge, is portrait of a non-family member. Hashtag that. Two Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Even better, make sure to tag us. Do all three. Both of those hashtags and tag us at Two Hosers. We will definitely see it and be able to bring it back up when we talk about it at the end of the month. Challenge for next week. I wrote down off. What? You have one?
No, I hope you have one. Didn't I come up with the last five?
It's been just a streak for you.
Yeah.
I actually, before I even talked about the flash, I wrote down off camera flash, but maybe it should be bounce flash. What do you want to do?
That's tough. I like both.
Mm.
Let's
off camera or bounce.
Okay, sure. Let's do bounce.
Okay. Bounce flash it is. Websites, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.